what is the difference in your mind between saying someone's name, having names on cardboard signs, and actually seeing the face of that person in kind of a quiet space?
I think it's important to look at a picture of someone because it humanizes them. I've spent time protesting, and I, you know, there's that call and response that happens where they ask you to say someone's name. And I think that's so powerful. And I feel like the way to move forward from that is that you have to know more than just their name. You need to know their story. And so for us, like, it was important to print the pictures because we wanted people to look in the eyes of their fellow citizens, you know, and really understand them as human beings. You know, and of course, when you do that with one picture, you know, it's emotional. But if you multiply that by 300 pictures, it's devastating.
After you came up with the idea for the visual and to have kind of a quiet place for people to kind of think and reflect and remember, where did you source your images?
So we gave ourselves a deadline. Once we came up with this idea, we said we want to do it on Juneteenth. Immediately, we did a Google search and just assumed that there would be some sort of database online of Black lives lost to racial injustice and systemic racism, not only police brutality, because we wanted to really, really show the effects of systemic racism on the Black community. And so when we started looking for that, we realized there was no such database. And we looked at newspaper articles, we looked at stats on police brutality, all sorts of places. I think our first list was about 175 people. But now, fast forward, as a result of the website that we've started where we take submissions of stories we don't know, our list has grown to about 300 people total and is sadly still climbing as we hear about stories that we didn't know about. So as a result, a direct result of systemic racism, their lives were taken.
It's been in Texas and Portland. Is there another location that I am not aware of?
Yeah, it's actually been up in about, maybe we're close to about 30 locations nationwide. So there have been a number in Texas as a result of some really awesome women there who have painted Texas with the memorial, basically. But it's been in New York. It's been in New Jersey. It's been in Georgia. Let's see, Wisconsin, California, Utah, lots of different places across the country.
Do you have any anecdotes of responses that you witnessed?
I found that as a memorial travels, different communities are affected differently by it. And so when we went to Texas, I was in Texas a couple weeks ago for the Houston Memorial and a couple weeks before that for the Dallas Memorial. The Black community came out in tremendous numbers. It was emotional. I met the mother of Che Taylor, who was a man who lost his life in Seattle. She lived in Seattle for a long time, and she now lives in Dallas. And I met her, you know, and I think for people like Che Taylor, who, you know, perhaps in Seattle, you know, his story is well known, but throughout the country, he's not one of the names that people are saying. I think the fact that these stories are being told across the country of people's loved ones is really important to the family and the members. And that's, you know, that's something I think I realized, but it didn't hit home until I was able to see how it affected the Black community in Texas and other places. After doing this, you know, since June for this year, and really having such positive, you know, feedback from the community, we've decided that we will tour an installation exhibit around the country next year. And so we are currently working on fabricating a structure that will move And will be probably exhibited in about 10 to 16 locations around the country. So this will be in addition to the more grassroots style memorials that folks have put up on fences and in windows and on walls. This will be like a fabricated wood structure. And our hope is when we do that, that at every single location, we do have a town hall engaging the community and not just, you know, the people who come out to the memorial, but the people who don't want to come to the memorial. You know, I think we've seen so much happen in these past years here in this country, but I think if I've learned anything, I've realized that we're not going to move forward unless we talk to all sides and all people. And so my hope is that we can find a way to invite community members who do not support Black Lives Matter to be able to talk about systemic racism and racial injustice in the communities.
Like, are you going to call local, you know, Proud Boys, you know, reach out to them and start a conversation?
That's our hope. There are a number of values that I share with people who are Proud Boys supporters, you know, and Trump supporters. And the truth is our country is not going to move forward if we continue to just stay on our sides and not have these conversations. And I think definitely when it comes to this, I've seen in Portland these horrible and fatal incidents where, you know, these two groups come together and awful things happen. And we have to find a way to talk about this. And so, yeah, my hope is that they do come out and we figure out where there is common ground. And then from there, we move forward, you know, realizing that as community members, you know, we're in the same community in the same country. We have to talk about these things. You know, our futures are intertwined regardless.